Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer has released 9 pages of side effects or adverse events report from their COVID-19 vaccine. Now, a report not made available to the public when the majority of the 4.3 billion doses shipped to 181 countries were being administered. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on today's edition of 360 View, we're going to talk with Matthew Scow, whose film Died Suddenly has been seen by thousands around the world and tells the stories of those who claim to suffer extensive reactions to taking the COVID-19 vaccine. Let's get started. A recent Rasmussen Reports poll shows that nearly half of Americans think COVID-19 vaccines may be to blame for many unexplained deaths, and more than a quarter say someone they know could be among the victims. Now, while these numbers are staggering and continue to grow, as more possible incidents are occurring all in live settings, the discussion is still considered to be taboo. And the pushing by pharmaceutical companies for annual COVID-19 vaccines and boosters is still dominant in mainstream media. Well, one producer decided to go against the narrative and gather as much of the data being suppressed regarding the vaccine and put the stories of those who experienced side effects into a documentary film. Let's take a look.
The governments know. This has been well planned. This is Agenda 2030. This is the Great Reset.
Now, for this, not only he, but also his film, has expectedly become the target of a major campaign to discredit the information given in the film and suppress its ability to even be seen. But that will not happen here. And just like with every topic we discuss here on 360 View, I present you, the viewer, the information and trust you to continue your research before making up your own mind regarding the subject at hand. So joining me now is the director of the film Died Suddenly, Matthew Miller Scow. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah.
Matthew, we haven't known each other for a long time, but I have to ask the obvious question first. Are you anti-vaccination?
Oh, that's a great question. And I like to address that because I'm neither an anti-vaxxer or a vaxxer or whatever, you know, they want to put me in whatever camp that is. I'm definitely anti-vaccine mandates. And I think that was our biggest contention, what we saw rolling out, that first of all, these were neither vaccines. They were some kind of therapeutic experiment, it looks like. And so to say that I am a anti-vaxxer is not true. I don't give my kids the mandatory vaccine checklist that they try to shove down our children as early as 1 month. They're trying to triple jab our children with all sorts of hepatitis B vaccines and all these. Look, is there good from vaccines? I don't know. They say some polio maybe helped and smallpox. I know what, though. I heard a statement from a doctor in the 1930s. He said he's never seen a cancer patient who wasn't vaccinated. So I don't know. When we start putting things in our bodies that alter what we are and who we are, nature tends to even the playing field sometimes.
So why did you think a film was the best way to get the message and information out regarding the possible effects of the COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, your questions are just so good. We live in this medium of visual entertainment. We look at Netflix and Hulu, HBO. We look at these TikTok, Instagram. We're just bombarded with visual images. And on the counter side to what we produce, which they produce propaganda to push either big pharma or some woke ideology, they do this all day. They do it in television programs, movies, commercials, the Super Bowl, halftime show. We're inundated. Brought to you by Pfizer is now after every show we're seeing. They were the lead sponsor in the Oscars. So what do we do when we're bombarded with that? Well, we put together something that looks like they made. Our film looks very similar to anything out of Hollywood or that you see on Netflix, except for our film contains truth and some images that the mainstream media will not share with you, i.e. huge 3-foot fibrous clots coming out of cadavers that have been dead less than a few hours.
So what was the most surprising piece of information or story you found when putting this film together?
Well, it has to be the clots, these fibrous clots that no one has seen before 2021. Now, not saying clots didn't exist. Some were called chicken fat, various blood clots that would fall apart very easily. And look, I'm not an expert in clots. So what I do is I go talk to the most qualified people, and that's in any film I've ever done. I don't use narration throughout my films. I let the people I interview do the talking because they're the experts. I just put them together in a creative and entertaining way so the viewer doesn't get bored. We're not making PowerPoint presentations here. We're making films that have impact, that have emotion, and that have anecdotal stories that tell what leading experts are seeing in their fields. So when I heard that a man named Richard Hirschman was an embalmer in Alabama, was seeing some things he had never seen before in his field, and corroborated by hundreds of other embalmers throughout the world who are seeing an anomaly they've never seen prior to 2021. And these are these huge clots, fibrous structures that they were pulling out of cadavers. We went up to Alabama, saw what he was pulling out, shot some of what he was pulling out, and it was alarming. And it's the one thing that we still, as we as humanity, have no understanding of why these things are being produced, what is producing them, and just how lethal they are. Because make no bones about it, these things would cause stroke, heart attacks. And then what do we see the uptick right now all over the place? I'm inundated with people sending me stories of 15-year-olds, 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 5-year-olds dying of strokes. This is alarming.
Now, often it is said by those defending the vaccine, any adverse effects from the vaccine are actually the fault of other health issues of the individual. Do you find this to be accurate?
Look. Teresa Long, who is a lieutenant colonel flight surgeon in the Army, under oath testified to what she was seeing, 1,291 new variants of diseases from multiple sclerosis to a stroke to cancers were popping up within her area of dealing with patients in the Army. Now we're seeing this explosion of cancers and birth decline. Yeah, I mean, we're all unhealthy in some kind of way, but that's just a way that they can just gaslight you to say it was something else than the experimental vaccine that they used to say, get it for grandma because you won't give it to grandma. And then through their own testimony say, we never even tested it for transmission. Their lies are crumbling. And the more that we shed light on actually what was transpiring beforehand, I think we'll really find out the truth. And it involves a conglomerate of people from media to politicians to the healthcare industry. Some knew more than others, but all were complicit in some way.
Very interesting. Well, thank you, Matthew Scow. Now, after the break, we are going to continue our conversation with Matthew and ask him why he feels like this film was embraced by some and demonized by others.
Sometimes the law of unintended consequences kicks in with a vengeance. Take, for example, Washington's addiction of sanctioning countries around the world for short-term political gain. The unintended consequence is the weakening of the American greenback and American power.
Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously. Why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
Welcome back. Almost from the very beginning, there were those who were voicing concerns about the lack of testing and the potential for side effects from the COVID-19 vaccine. However, those voices were quickly identified and censored both in the traditional media as well as social media. Why would a film which collected all of the data into one package face any different fate? So let's continue our conversation with director of the film Died Suddenly, Matthew Scow. So, Matthew, how has this film been received by not only the mainstream media, but also those sources considered to lean conservative versus those who are liberal?
It's been seen figures from 30 million to 100 million people, translated organically into dozen languages. We put zero money into any advertising promotion of the film. We literally just started a Twitter, and we're up to 250,000 followers on Twitter. In 2 months, these things only happen because people see that what we presented was truthful and they're living it. What it was, we talked behind the scenes of why did this catch on so much. One, it's a very well-made film. It's entertaining to the point of not feeling like it's a PowerPoint, but it's giving you real data and from real experts. The fear factor, like when you see these things coming out of cadavers and they have never seen it before, people are generally frightened. And because a lot of people were duped into taking this or forced into taking this, and they're now wondering, like, are these inside of me? So we're just, and another thing, there's been a lot of movies with this genre, and good, because we need more, right? The one thing that separated us is we asked the question and answered why. Why is this happening? Why do the global elites, I hate the word elite, they're not elite, they're just powerful, they're manipulators. And why are they all lockstep with the thought of there's too many of us on the planet? I was just listening to an interview from Mike Wallace from 1959 with Aldous Huxley, who was talking about this very thing. Now, he was in the circles of the elite, and he, back then, we're talking about, oh, there's too many people. This is going to be a problem. This Malthusian mindset of overpopulation to the amount of resources. Well, we see what that started. That started the climate scare, right? The population bomb scare of the 70s trickled into global warming. First was global cooling, then global warming. Now it's climate change. And it's just to scare you into making you feel like you're the problem. We are. I can continue because we look at their writings, like with Klaus Schwab and the Fourth Industrial Revolution, his book. He said, and he stated this at Davos, that the Fourth Industrial Revolution is a revolution of us, meaning who we are and what we are from the inside out. Now, if there's going to be a world full of robotics and automation, well, that's going to leave a lot of jobless people who have nowhere to go with their trade. So they might say, yeah, UBI would be good, but we know that's just silly. That's never going to work. So what's the next step? Maybe a way to depopulate and cool the world. And unfortunately, we're seeing this roll out, and it's happening right now in real time.
Now, after everything you have seen and researched, what was the purpose of the vaccine?
Look, it can't be just money, because the people involved, they print the money. We look at Justin Trudeau's words while the pandemic was happening. He said, we're going to use this pandemic to roll out our pre-pandemic plans, meaning the United Nations 2030 goals of the 17 sustainable goals that they've been trying to throw down everybody's throat through this last, since Agenda 21 in 1992. these are real goals of them trying to implement them, but they're not attainable. No poverty is one. No hunger. These things are unattainable, but they sound good. Who wouldn't want no hunger in the world? Of course. But what are they going to do, and how is the world going to change to achieve these goals? That's what we have to really look at here. And we are looking at people who think they're gods, who are playing gods, and we unfortunately have to deal with the repercussions of Bill Gates' godlike complex.
Oh, there is so many things to unpack.
It's a lot. I mean, we're dealing with something we have never seen together. Such a neo-fascist look at the world, where we have all these huge conglomerates together working with government officials on lockdowns, on vaccine passports. The only thing that is next is to clamp down the internet, because there's too much freedom on the internet right now. There's too much of what we're doing right now and being able to be out there. We've seen Twitter try to stop it, Facebook, but the more they try to censor, the more it just looks like they're guilty.
Okay, so you mentioned the CDC now has a database set up to register adverse effects to the vaccine, and yet you still have a push now to make the vaccine booster an annual shot, just like the flu. Does this seem idiotic?
Well, I'll go even one more step. Moderna's working on an mRNA-based flu vaccine. Bill Gates is talking about putting mRNA vaccines in meat, into cows. Look, when we talk about this, people don't want to go there. They're like, this is conspiratorial. And that's why in the film, in our title sequence, we put Bigfoot in there and the UFOs and the Kennedy assassination, because we knew that our critics would deem that this was one of those things. So we played a little loose and tongue-in-cheek with it, because we know what we are going to be hit with. But as we are finding out, many of these conspiracy theories are becoming conspiracy facts. And what is a conspiracy? It's just when a group of people with power get together and conspire to put their plans out into the world. And we're seeing it play out in real time right now.
Why do you think people both in politics and in the medical community do not want to recognize the issues your film brings up? And what role do you think Big Pharma actually plays in all of this?
Yeah, this goes back to our earlier film, The Greatest Reset, where we spoke with Dr. Robert Malone early before he was a household name, and Peter McCullough right when he was getting some recognition. This was in early of 2021. I was speaking with Robert Malone. At that time, he thought it was ineptitude. He didn't even know really about the World Economic Forum. I got to kind of red pill him in his farm about what's really going on. I've been to Davos twice. I accompanied President Trump in 2018, 2020, and I got to see inside of the cabal, as you could say. I interviewed Yuval Harari on the floor of Davos. And look, Yuval is like one of their prophets. He writes Homo Deus, Homo Sapien. He writes in his books that in 100 years, there might not be what we see each other as we are now. We might be a melding of an AI algorithmic human form. They look at technology as a master, and they look at it as something that they can use to empower and enslave people. So this isn't me just thinking of like, how can I come up with something that will shake and scare and just get clicks. It's not about clicks. This is really what they write about and what their speeches are about. So in the film, what we do is we just take what they've already said and we present it to the public, because a lot of people, they don't watch what's going on in Davos. They don't read Klaus Schwab's book, COVID-19, The Great Reset, was written 4 months into COVID. Anybody who's written a book or has read a book knows that's impossible to do in 4 months. So as more and more is known, more and more is going to be revealed of how much planning went into what we're experiencing right now.
Matthew, I'm interested to know, did your film face any censorship or shadow banning on social media with your distribution?
Oh, most definitely. On Facebook, I tried to, it's not Facebook, on YouTube, I uploaded the trailer and it wouldn't even let me upload it. The algorithms are so good, it knew what it was about, I guess, and wouldn't even let me upload it. YouTube is controlled. Facebook's controlled. We know this because in the Senate hearings or congressional hearings, they never ask the tough question with these monopolies. These companies are acting like utilities. They're funneling in a lot of information, which is supposed to be open discourse, and they're neutralizing, they're cutting you off, they're giving you bans, strikes, whatever. Now, it was interesting when we first released Died Suddenly, we were the first film to be released live on Twitter. It just happened that Elon Musk had purchased Twitter a week or two before the release of our film. We used that, and it's been viewed on Twitter millions of times. We'll see how long that goes. I know Elon gets pushback. I'm sure he's a threat now, because the biggest threat to them, is open discourse and us talking openly and being able to point at the elephant in the room. Now, I need to call out to Elon, and we've asked him personally to release all the Twitter files. They're behind a gatekeeper right now who's not one to open and divulge everything. And we're asking for a WikiLeaks dump of everything that was seen in these Twitter files. And hopefully that will happen, because we as a populace, we are smart enough to know what we need to know, and we can look through these things. And look what they've done with the WikiLeaks founder. He's still in jail, you know. Like, these type of truths that we're trying to get out are very dangerous. But we got to keep on doing what we can do.
Since this is an international show, what other countries seem to be just as inquisitive about the side effects of this vaccine?
I just had a gentleman reach out to me from Israel. Israel, as Netanyahu deemed them, they were the world's guinea pigs. They're an experimental people for the world. Like, that's a badge of honor, right? They're almost at 100% vaccination rate. The deaths in Israel are out of control. The UK, we're looking at 2,000 excess deaths a week now. And they're blaming it on whatever they can. They're going to keep kicking this can down the field as long as they can, because there is serious adverse effects from this. These deaths we're seeing are not attributed to COVID, so they got to figure out a way to either fudge the numbers or blame it on something. The word gaslight is being used so much because that's actually what's happening right now. This film has done so well around the world because what it did was it gave someone some ammunition to give to someone who might not read a Substack or might not go to a certain website because they'll think it's, you know, biased to whatever. We're not trying to push anything in this film. We're just trying to ask the question, why are embalmers seeing fibrous clots that look like they would cause strokes or heart attacks? Why are they seeing these post-2021? Why are we seeing OBGYNs who have been in the field for 40 years scream me out saying, I've never seen so many miscarriage and fetal demises? These are serious questions that are going to be answered in Died Suddenly 2. We're in production right now. What are we going to tackle in Died Suddenly 2 is the legal aspect. There will be a recourse for these victims. They tried to pass the NDAA and make this like protection given to these pharmaceutical companies because it was for the benefit of the world or whatever. But a lot of institutions implemented a mandate that they don't have protection. So we'll see a lot of recourse in that way. And a lot of senators, a few senators and congressmen, women have reached out And there will be some subpoenas on Capitol Hill that we might get some real answers.
All very interesting. And thank you, Matthew, for joining us and sharing with us what you have found. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.